Hello, I am teaching artist Lauren Welch. Welcome to our stream. I am here today with Professor Liu, and today we are bringing back bad 2D compositions. Remember that game we played last week? We're gonna play it some more. But for that, if your studio habits need a kick in the butt, Art Prof has everything you need: tutorials, critiques, and professional development. So, Clara, can you introduce this new round of bad composition?
It really should be more like, quote, bad composition.
Yeah.
Because there's no correct answer here. But the point of this stream is to have a discussion about what features we think makes a successful 2D composition. So we're going to start out, Lauren and I have made our own picks. So I will show you guys one composition that I think is not working so well, and we'll show you a second composition by the same artist that we think does work well. All right, I'm going to start with this contemporary Chinese artist. I don't know how to say this name correctly, Zhang Xiaogang.
So, yeah, that's how I pronounce it.
And he does these creepy portraits. You guys should look up the work because it's very odd. And I really like the work in general, but the horizontality of this just drives me crazy. Like, I would not mind the architecture being that way if maybe the figures were a little bit offset, but it's just like one horizontal after another. And I don't see that the piece pushes me in different directions. Do you agree or disagree, Lauren?
I feel so weird about this, Clara. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I definitely see where those issues are. It's super horizontal. My eye just skates right across that bottom tub rim. But there's also something intriguing to me about this stoplight quality of the red face, yellow face, red face floaty thing. I think that the horizontality of it makes them feel more like these triplets to me, but who knows? I also keep trying to read this as a diptych because it looks like there is a crease in the center of it, and it is so horizontal that that line straight across makes it read even more horizontal, the proportions even more horizontal. So I'm confused.
Well, W315 makes a good point that if the artist is going for a sense of discomfort, an uncomfortable composition should reinforce that. Oh, for sure, that is absolutely happening right now.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I feel like in the other work, like if we go to the next slide, I feel like the artist does create a sense of dissonance, but with a composition that I think is a little bit more active and gets me to move around the page a little bit more. Like this composition I really like because it's eerie. It's uncomfortably still. What do you think?
Yeah, it's doing that. We were talking about when is it okay to have a center portrait composition? And here might be a case where it is okay in that you are, or the artist is doing this alienation kind of thing and having that really blurred out family photo, school photo kind of background that goes with it is adding to that.
Well, I think you make a good point about those portraits because, you know, that very like staged, formal family portrait, you go to the studio, they have a backdrop. There is a tradition of that format in family photos throughout history. So I do think that the artist is taking from that, and we do have an expectation for that reason. But then the disruption with the color is just so difficult to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just look at that yellow face and it just makes me think about jaundice, and the redness of the baby almost makes me think about premature babies. I don't know. It's really, it's hard for me to look at, but in a good way.
Yeah, I think that one thing that we can bring up here is how important the color is to making this composition work. Because if this was just, say, a black and white artwork, maybe say done in graphite and the background was, say, white, I don't think it would work. This isn't really about shape. It is about the colors being used and then the colors that are contrasting or pulling out of that really grayed out world.
Aditi Jane says in this one, I really like how the colors in the kids' faces pop from the parents. It creates more impact. Yeah, I mean, you just sort of wonder what is the commentary there that maybe the parents are receding and the kids are coming forward. Lily says this piece is really unsettling, but mainly because the background looks like the background they use to take your school photo. So it summons that PTSD for me. I always found those photographers creepy, Lauren, the school photographers.
Oh, yeah, they're just trying to do their job and they have to deal with how many children under the age of 12. I feel a little bit sorry for them.
But still, when I was a kid, at least, they would say things like, come on, princess, give me a smile. And that creeped me out. I did not like that at all.
Yeah.
So Amara says, I see this more of a boy being a black sheep in the family, while the girl is more of a goody two shoes, traditional older daughter. And Ned is saying, none of the proportions are relative. Yeah, what's up with the proportions? They're
Yeah,
weird.
it feels like the two figures in the back, I'm guessing those are parents, they are with the same color as the background, and they are the most unified with the background in terms of size proportion. So they feel like these two pillars or ghosts that the kids, which, yeah, almost look like they're standing in front of a painting or a photo of their parents. That's where they're emerging from.
All right, let's take a look at one of Lauren's picks. So you said thumbs down for this one. And tell us in the chat, is this a thumbs down or thumbs up for you? Because I'm going to guess some of you guys don't agree with Lauren, which is fine. That's the whole point of the stream.
Oh, I have such a hard time with Mary Heilman. I think that's what it comes down to, really. This is called provisional painting, and provisional painting is a school of thought where the artists are looking at the failures of painting, are trying deliberately to make awkward paintings. It drives me up the wall. I have a certain obsession, maybe with beauty or hierarchy that goes towards things that are beautiful and well proportioned, and everything about this that I think is supposed to make the painting succeed within its school of thought, provisional painting, are things that really grate on me the wrong way. And the fact that this red piece is contrasting weirdly against this yellow piece is just killing me.
Well, it looks like people in the chat agree because Dara says it looks like melty ice cream in a stick rendition of the Trojan Horse. And Seven Angelic says two thumbs down. It hurts my eyeballs. And Elena Johnson says it's just too many things going on in the painting. And Lucia says, oh God, I don't like it. I'm with you, Lauren. I'm gonna trash it too. I do not like this. It's so arbitrary. What is the connection? Is the connection supposed to be red lines? Blot of red, like where is that going? And then like the awkward yellow going into the big block of yellow. It's so
Okay, I am going to, because we can all agree, I guess, that we hate this painting or the composition of this painting, I'm going to do the devil's advocate because this is an educational channel here. Where, okay, so in one of my classes, my teacher has told me I need you to paint something really ugly or trying to be at least not beautiful because in order to recognize what your value system is, what makes something beautiful or what makes something ugly, you have to get a real understanding of both sides of it. So Mary Heilman is really pulling on all those things that aggravate us about a bad piece of work and making us pay attention to what those might be. So as far as being an example of a bad composition, it is really good at telling us what those bad things are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I still don't like it.
Yeah.
Dara is asking, is it a single piece or two separate pieces staged or lighted strategically?
I haven't seen this piece in person, just a heads up, guys, but I think it's two separate pieces that are staged strategically.
Well, Ned is saying, I like how ugly those yellows are. And Mari says, I'm confused, but it gives it more creepiness for some reason. Vanessa says, it's so ugly that it doesn't fail to, quote, artistically summon strong emotions instantly. My feeling about this piece, though, Lauren, which I actually think is sort of the most insulting thing I could say, is it's just, meh. I don't have any feelings towards it. I don't feel, oh my God, it's hideous. It hurts my aesthetic sensibilities. I don't think it's, oh, it's okay. I just am like totally apathetic.
Oh, that's like big flame emoji, flame emoji, flame emoji roast. Wow. It's a good thing
like
that she's
story.
Not one of your crits. I feel so
I
bad. It's a big deal in the painting world.
I don't care. I'm just looking at the composition. I don't evaluate the career with the artist. Okay, now you chose this one as a thumbs up. So tell us why.
I love this one, actually. It's very simple. It's still following some of her Mary Heilman, let's make weird let's make weird frame kinds of things. But I really get the sense of a road shooting off into space there. Those two extremely simple white rectangles on there just complete the whole world for me. And I can extrapolate far beyond this piece just based off of where those are positioned.
I like this piece. I don't think that I'm like, oh my God, it's blowing me away. I don't feel that, but I definitely can appreciate the way it's suggestive of certain things without being blatant. Like to me, I think there's a suggestion of linear perspective.
Yes, there is. And it didn't take much. It took basically two intersecting lines that she filled in the shapes to. I also really like about this piece that those white chunks, well, that it's these two canvases that are either stuck together, these two white chunks are taken out, this negative space thing, because I think that helps balance this line of that road dot 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 line going through it. I think if this was a totally black square painting with those two white lines, we would not read it as a road anymore.
Well, also it makes me think about the, at least in the US, the yellow lines that divide the road. But the thing is, because there's only two white shapes, it's not blatantly showing the
right
road. So I like that it's fairly abstract. You can still create your own narrative. But I guess for me, it's like this piece has something to hold on to. It has something that I can elaborate upon. Whereas... What are you doing?
So, okay, this is really interesting, though, because... So what people have for reactions for the road piece are, and Angie's saying, meh, it's boring to me, or Angelic Enigma saying this is much simpler and the composition is more interesting, it's a little boring. And so I wonder, though, because the previous piece, the one we said was bad, was so overtly offensive to us, that's actually maybe the better piece because it creates so many emotions, which is, I don't know, arguably what art is supposed to do. This is getting into, I guess, not straight up composition anymore, but definitely what are the priorities here? What standards are we judging this artwork on?
Well, if you guys saw, Lauren and I did a crit clash on the infamous banana duct tape piece. And we do talk about stuff like that, like whether the reaction matters more or if it's something else. So yeah, that's a whole other can of worms that is not as much about composition. Okay. This is Pontormo, who was a mannerist painter. Now, mannerism, I think you do have to understand when it came in history because there was the Renaissance in Europe And the Renaissance is all about linear perspective and things being very formal and very tight, I suppose, by comparison. And mannerism to me was like a reaction to all that. It was like, screw all the linear perspective, the anatomy. Let's just make everything wonky and weird, and everybody looks anxious. Like, I think mannerism is the weirdest genre in
It is
history.
very, it is kind of awkward. It's in a weird little spot in
It's
the,
strange.
yeah.
Also, do you notice the guy in the bottom center has like a pink back that doesn't match the
Yeah, this pink color is really throwing me off. I'm wondering if this is a restoration error or this is a photographic error. I don't even feel like this color existed back then, but who knows?
It's gross. So here's the thing. Like, I happen to really like Pontormo's drawings. If you haven't seen his figure drawings, look them up because they're incredible. But this composition drives me crazy because the color is so flat. Like, it's the same blue throughout the whole thing. The figures look claustrophobic. I mean, I don't mind complicated figure compositions, but like, the way the sides are pushing in is awkward. And what's up with the random cloud? Pontormo, sorry.
I disagree with you a little bit, Claire. I agree with you on one point. Okay. So, shape-wise and positioning-wise, I do actually like that part of the composition. I think that the pressing in, the sides pressing in, makes me feel like there is this interaction going on with the figures inside and the edges of the canvas. This is something that I really value in compositions. And I love that derpy little cloud in the left that's just there to fill space. I think it's hilarious. Maybe this is something that's coming from like a contemporary value system of composition, which in painting is focusing a lot on these edges right now. But I do think that the color composition is horrible. There is no hierarchy at all, as you said. Comes off as really flat. Those blues and pinks, if you put this into grayscale, the entire painting would just be straight up the same gray.
B says, "Ooh, I like this. I haven't seen such a fluffy painting before from that era." I mean, people think that stuff from a long time ago is so formal, but a lot of it's wonky and weird. And I definitely think that Pontormo is one of those people. Like Darwin says, mannerism is basically just when Italian Renaissance artists started appreciating northern medieval styles and calling it their own. Yeah,
I
it's
like
like
that interpretation.
it's
Yep.
so bizarre.
You
And then
got it,
like
Darwin.
the body of Christ, it's so lumpy, like he looks like a pillow that
Yeah. I mean, everything feels like that cloud, basically. Christ there is the closest, is like the twin of that cloud, except the body version.
Stephen Angelic says the figures look like they're wearing spandex bodysuits.
It's a very strange painting.
It's so weird.
But
All right.
composition-wise, it's 50-50 for me.
This is another Pontormo piece, really different stylistically. It's like, dude, you finally learned about value. And it's so, if you look at this painting, I just love the interaction of the figures because multi-figure compositions are difficult. Oftentimes, it's hard to make limbs connect in a way that makes sense. But I just look at the weaving of the limbs, like the mother's face on top of the creepy baby, the baby arm hanging over the mother. I just think it's a brilliant figure composition. Tell me in the chat, thumbs up or thumbs down for the second Pontormo piece.
Well, we got Sleipnir says that they like the previous painting better. And I kind of agree.
All
Only
right.
because I feel like this composition is right, technically speaking. It feels balanced, it feels okay, but it kind of then falls into boring territory for me. The only thing interesting is that child's face who looks very sick there. But that doesn't have anything to do with the composition.
I think it does because the child's eye going upwards pushes you to the mother, and then the diagonal of the neck pushes you to the other baby. I think it totally does.
I think it's too safe. I think this composition is too safe. It's also, as Sleipnir says, it's too cliche. It's too much of the era. This is what they would paint back then.
Yeah, but you can't hold that against them that every single painting was a commission from the church. I mean, that's not their fault.
That is kind of true.
Ayane says, I like the previous painting better. The composition's okay, but I don't like the rendering of the figures. I mean, they're creepy. Like, I look at these old paintings, Lauren. I'm like, have you guys never seen a baby? Like, really?
Yeah, the babies, I know that there's a reasoning for this, but I have not looked into
Chloe
it.
says these children look fairly muscular for their age. And Michelle says, how do their gazes play into the composition? Exactly, because I think the direction of the eyes plays a huge part in composition. I think that's something that's very important.
Yeah, that's so smart. Thank you for bringing that up. That is something we have not really yet talked about so far, is when you have a human figure, our eyes go directly to a face. And then because we have conversations with people, we're social creatures, we're always going to look where the other people are looking to see what's going on.
Also, Lauren, I kind of love the foreshortening on the baby leg, the left one on the lower right. Isn't that weird foreshortening? Like, it's really
Toes.
bizarre. Yeah.
It's kind of, it looks like a little bit fudged, but in a way that's believable-ish.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that for me, he's owning the wonkiness here. I feel like the other one, I don't know, it looks like cotton candy to me. Like it just does not have the weight. Okay. Let's take a look at the next one. So, Lauren, why is this piece by David Hammons a thumbs down?
We have had a lot of questions and defenses of using blank space in one's work, where you want people to focus on the subject and you're worried that a background is going to detract. There are definitely times when this is okay, but we want to show you some times where it was not okay versus times when it seemed more relevant. And this one here, I feel like there's just not enough for us to hold on to that makes it worth having that background be completely white. I feel like the juggling stuff going on here is just a little bit awkward when it's contrasted against all of this flat white space.
Is it supposed to be somebody juggling breasts?
Yes. Yes.
Literally?
Well, let me give some background to this. So, David Hammons has a body of work that is really, really wonderful from when he was early on in his career that was all body prints. So, these are all actual pressings of people's bodies on the page using grease and then putting on, they would put grease on their bodies and then press into the page and then cover it with pigment. So this is a print, a body print. And so, oh, where was I going with this? I forgot. But anyways, this work is all being shown, not all this, but this series of work is being shown at the Drawing Center in New York right now. And I thought it was really relevant to some of the stuff that we were talking about, because often a lot of times involves printing on a straight up white space. And how do you use that to your advantage if you're a printmaker?
Lily says, I actually quite like this, like how the ink fades into the background, which has quite an eerie effect. I feel like it has no depth at all. Everything's just side by side. And
Yeah.
I think for me, the difference might be the lack of overlap. For example, if some of the juggling breast objects, if some of them were overlapping, or if one of them was overlapping the top of the hand, or if the hands were, I mean, I don't know anybody who juggles like this. This is such a bizarre, I'm not saying it has to be exactly accurate to juggling, but it just feels so staged.
Yeah, I think the issue for me, Clara, is that the hands do have this sense of volume to them. There's this fading of the arms into nothing, which could work, but then the breasts are very, they don't feel volumetric at all. They feel like a flat pressing. That's a hard shape to
Lose
deal
you
with.
for a second. There you are.
Hi. I was just saying that the hands feel volumetric because you have the wrists and the arms fading out into nothing. This makes sense, but then these breast prints are very flat, and I think that's a hard shape to deal with, and it's not really reading in a way that contrasts well either with the background or with the hands.
Well, W315 says the wrist angles and hand angles are dynamic enough to counteract the centeredness, though. And Jelry says this feels very contained and almost too neat and tidy with the circles being juggled in a circle shape. Yeah, and Lauren, after you told me that they were body prints, I actually liked it less because I was thinking
Really?
that there should be more fluidity with a body print, that it shouldn't be so neat.
Yeah, I think that this is a fail as far as using the body print and some of the tenderness and ephemeral quality and Xeroxy kind of quality to your advantage. It's not coming across here. There's just not enough contrast in detail or shape or anything like that. It feels very much like a potato print or an apple print kind of thing.
Okay, and you gave a thumbs up to this one. Why?
I love this one. Okay. So you have this figure. Okay, first we're dealing with a piece of paper or a rectangle that is typically, what you would use to make a drawing or a painting on here or whatever. We don't usually pay attention to the rectangle, but this figure in the center is also so rectangular and so uneasily rectangular in itself that he feels squished and contained by this bigger rectangle, the rectangle of the page. And that feels very, I get a physical feeling from that. I feel claustrophobic, I feel maybe even arthritic. It just has this emotional quality to it, that mirroring of the rectangle inside of the rectangle.
Lauren, is this one a body print too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I love this. I mean, I loved it before you told me that, but I think the rectangle bottom portion of the figure is brilliant. And here's why. Because it lines up with the corner of the rectangle shape of the piece, but the rectangle is so ghost-like. It's barely there. It's a very, very light tone. So actually, it's not the first thing I look at. The first thing I look at, I get pulled right into the face. I get into the hands. It's a value decision that the artist. And then later, I notice the rectangular shape of the figure. But then, like, I love the center, that suggestion. I mean, that is totally my thing.
Yeah.
It's like transparent, organic texture and surface. I just totally die for that stuff.
Well, I think that,
So
yeah, I agree with you, Clara. I think that it is the contrast of this really organic knowledge that we have of the body. We can really see the body here, that arm, those hands, that face. If you get up close to these, I have not seen this particular piece, but if you get up close to these, you can even see the details and whorls and cracks in the skin and the folds in the clothing, which adds to all of that. But then you have this body, which is contained in this less natural either covering or rectangle or composition. And so you just have these things that are pulling against each other, which is what I really love.
well, and also a lot of people are noting that there are some similarities to certain imagery. Like Lily says, looks like a negative photo. B says, looks like something I'm smuggling in my suitcase. And Orangey says, this feels holy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's all right on the money in that it reminds you of certain things. And there definitely is this delicate, light, ephemeral quality to it. Like Angel Reese says, I feel like the fadeness of the clothing helps give the piece depth. I think it's really well executed.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can have centered compositions that work because here's the thing. If we added a background to this piece, I think it would totally destroy the translucency.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this one's so delicate, and a lot of these pieces that he's done are so delicate that it makes it okay to say have this blank background. It can serve a purpose. But again, it's very case by case basis.
Gil is saying this one has a lot more depth, is using the space in a better way, I think. I also like this one more. Cool. All right, let's take a look at Wolf Kahn, who's a contemporary landscape painter. And so I picked this one as a thumbs down because here's the thing about Wolf Kahn. And if you guys have not seen Wolf Kahn's work, look it up because I think he's brilliant with color. I think the color is so oddly, quote, accurate. I know this doesn't make a lot of sense because obviously landscapes are not this color, but I feel that Wolf Kahn creates a world in his pieces that totally.
Yeah, it's super believable. One thing that I really love about him is that it feels, I mean, he's an impressionist. He understands light so well. And so I think in his ability to get the light correctly and the optical mixing correctly, it doesn't matter what these are in real life. It's the memory of these kinds of spaces and the memory of that light that is what carries these pieces. But you hate this composition, and I want to know why.
I don't hate it. You make it sound like I have this burning hatred for this painting. I just think it's boring. And I think there's a difference in terms of why you don't like a composition. Like the Mary Heilman piece, I just was apathetic. This one, I just am like, you've got these beautiful colors, but the layout, the structure of the landscape to me, it just feels really, really repetitive. Like, let me just show you guys briefly. We'll get into it later, but this is one that I really happen to like a lot for other reasons that we'll get into. So I love the lighting. The luminous quality is great. The color is really well done, but I just feel like it's the same tree over and over again.
Yeah, I think in this, Clara, I agree with you. There's a trope, cliche quality going on here. It is the cliche of the landscape. A person is first starting out doing landscapes. It's very popular to do the like one third or one fourth of the pages given to the ground, and then the rest as the sky, and then the trees reach like the two thirds mark thing. And I feel like Wolf Kahn is not really going beyond that in this case.
Well, Elena says, I like the color, but there is no depth. And it seems like a lot of people are bothering Wolf Kahn about their value. Like Ayane says, looks kind of bad. There's no value contrast in this one. And Chloe says the same thing. Doesn't have enough value contrast. The trees look almost like they're all just side by side, barely any depth overall. But Super 60 says disagree. I love everything Wolf Kahn. Do you have any artists like that, Lauren, who are like default? I will like everything they like in
Bonnard,
art.
Bonnard forever.
That needs to be a t-shirt.
I know, I know. I need to get like some Bonnard things in my life. It's depressing how much I am a super fan over him. But Wolf Kahn is these comments hurt me a little bit because I kind of love the color here. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. The value is really narrow here, and perhaps that's not serving a painting well that is also feeling kind of weak in these other areas of having a super horizontal rectangular composition and has to be a landscape. So I get it, but I also just love this color palette, guys.
Oh my God, you and the color. It's like the color
No,
just trumps
I know
everything.
it does.
So you know what's weird about this piece? I think the color's okay. It's fine, but I don't love it.
Yeah.
Although, here's the thing. If you contextualize this piece amongst all of Wolf Kahn's other pieces, it doesn't feel as Wolf Connie
Yeah.
as his, you know what I mean? It's like it's a little bit Anselm Kiefer-y. It's got a little bit more of a darker, which is probably why I like it. But I don't know. It's not a typical Wolf Con piece.
I think that the composition is, I think it's better. Oh, Clara, this is hard. I do not like this piece enough to give it a full thumbs up here. I think I'm getting lost in these, I guess they're trees, because they have this really all over effect where I don't see a whole lot of depth in them. They feel very muddy, so they feel like one layer that is on top of this purple lined composition. I think the most surprising element is maybe that house in the corner, which reads as a negative space, but it also reads as a positive shape. That is interesting, but I don't necessarily think that the tree layer over top is serving the composition well.
I just really like the layering, the in and out of the yellow leaves. Like the yellow leaves on the right, those seem to really like sink into the purple. But then in the upper left-hand corner, they're very bright and luminous, and you can feel the light pushing through those leaves. And so I feel like we talked about depth a lot in the last one. This one to me has a lot of depth, and I think that it's really working. Michelle says, I wonder how much all of these quote bad compositions are worth because if there's demand or buyers, is that actually bad? Great question. What's your take, Lauren?
I mean, we're doing these streams and we have to clarify everything by saying that this is all fairly subjective. There are no hard and fast rules to composition. And also, compositions, as we've talked about, are very linked to specific periods of art where one type of composition is appropriate for something. Like, you can't have a Mary Heilman mannerism piece. That doesn't work. I never want to see that. Do not ever do that. But so, yeah, I guess if there are people that like it, that want to buy it, that's their taste. They like that. We could say that they have bad taste, but these things change throughout history, so who knows?
Michaela says, yes, the colors are cool and beautiful, but a painting is not only about the colors, I believe. Lauren, you could put a color study with beautiful colors, but it's not going to have a very surprise, not going to be a very surprising
For
piece.
sure.
Well, the way I would say, color is one factor. There are other things that come into play. Like here, we're not talking about the gaze of a portrait because there's no face in here. So there are certain compositional elements that just are not applicable for certain pieces. So that's why this is so complicated to figure out. Okay, Lauren, why don't you tell us about this artist, who they are?
Well, first, we have a super chat donation from Lucia. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So Nadia is someone who I found over Instagram who does a lot of figurative type work, and I often really like her compositions, but I do not like this straight head-on one here because I don't think that that red curtain has enough going on to really pull me in. I think the both having the straight on head composition where it's like right in front of our faces and then having that red, basically negative space block feels awkward to me, feels unbalanced.
Tell us in the chat, thumbs up or thumbs down for this first painting. I'm almost liking this. I'm very close, Lauren,
Yeah.
but there are some things about it that I don't like. The things I do like, I think the red curtain is beautifully done. I love how it begins in the upper left-hand corner. It swoops around and then it interacts with the hand. So that to me is the best part of the painting. And actually, the hair is almost a response to that because the red curtain does this and then the hair comes downwards. So that part of it I like. The hand is driving me crazy though.
Yeah, that
It
hand's
looks
really
like,
weird.
well, I think I wouldn't mind the style in another context, but it doesn't fit the face to me at all.
Yeah, I think that we're reading several different types of painting in one painting, and no single one is coming to the top. They're all fighting for each other. We have portraiture, we have this abstract shape yin yang kind of thing. We have these textural elements that are reading the forehead and the hair. And then you have this gray strip, which I don't know why it's there. You see that in the left. So it's a bit of a mishmash, which is an issue.
Dara is asking, what's up with the third fingernail being red? I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out. It is random, isn't it, though?
I think that there is a fair amount of symbolism in her work, but I'm not keyed in to particular elements like that.
And Matt says the hand is disturbing. Yeah, because it just looks like it doesn't belong to that figure, although I suspect it does. It's a little bit tricky to know for sure. And Amer says nothing about this makes it look intentional.
Yeah.
I think it is, but the part that bothers me the most actually is that black stripe in the upper left. It's like, what? Like, it's so out of place.
So from what I know of what I've seen of her work is that this stripe thing is particular to a body of work that she has done where it appears a lot and it works in other paintings. It does not work in this because this is trying to read as a traditional portrait, but it also wants to be all these other things. And here we also have that gaze thing going on that we were talking about. We have a head-on gaze here. So our eyes are locked with her. And so even though there may be these other elements that are trying to do things, we're mostly stuck on this gaze and looking at this face.
Lucia says, the stream is helping me realize that looking only at things that we think are great is half of learning. I got to start analyzing more art that I don't enjoy and identifying the, quote, bad elements. Yeah, this stream, it's not about bad compositions because as you see, it's not that straightforward, but it's getting you guys to maybe stop and pause and not say, oh, well, Wolf Kahn's famous. Everything he does must be great. Because that's, we've seen that in a lot of artists that we're looking at here, that some of them do make compositions that aren't that good. And so this really is an opportunity for you guys to step back and say, well, wait a minute, what is it exactly that I am looking at that makes me feel that way? Okay, why is this a thumbs up, Lauren?
I think that there is just, this is a lot of eye candy here. There's just so much to look at and so many different worlds that are interacting with each other. I feel like she must be looking at Carrie James Marshall a little bit because there's this, these different styles that are being interwoven together that help you pick out a narrative in the piece, including these little bits of text. I think this is a great opportunity to show a painting that uses good text. It's up there in the left corner. If you can't see it, you probably can't see it very well. But I think that my eye is being led easily between these two figures in this weaving element that's happening with the rays of the sun. And that is helping push me along.
I agree. I think it's a great composition. And it's such a nice example of blending very different styles within the same painting, because the figures are, they're not hyper realistic or anything, but they do follow shadow and light, and there's some rendering in there. But then these rays, flat abstract shapes, and even where the figures turn into that flat light blue, I just love that. The interaction, the layering is beautifully done. And it's got really nice background to ground the piece. The swirling strokes that are in the water are beautifully done. I mean, this one just hits all the requirements of, for me, that typical really awesome dynamic diagonal composition with figures. You know, it's got it all, right?
it's really fun. It's a really easy one to like, I think. And the other part that I love about this is that reading into the piece, I can't pull up the comment. I think, oh, here it is. Amir says, this is simply stunning. If I saw this piece from a distance in a gallery, I would speed walk to it. And I feel the same way, where from way back there, you have these huge elements that draw you in, but as you walk closer, you get involved into the mid-sized elements, and then you easily jump to the small elements. And I think that that depth, that playing with scale, is also super important to this composition.
Well, Rachel is asking, can you give some hacks that can help us improve our compositions? Because that can exponentially affect your art. Oh, absolutely. I really think, Lauren, if you have a great composition, your technique doesn't have to be incredible. I think a composition can really affect things dramatically. So Rachel, we actually have a stream that we're going to mention in a few minutes. It's called Great 2D Compositions, where we give very specific directions that you guys can push your work in to try to make it better. But I think a large part of why this composition works well is the range of sizes of shapes. Like, you see how there's like itty bitty, like that little rainbowy thing in the middle is very tiny shapes, but then the background is very big. There's medium shapes. I think that that is beautifully balanced throughout the entire piece. And let's see. Here's the stream. This is the stream I was going to mention. So Rachel, this is a stream where, oh no, this is the other one. Sorry. This is the same one. It's another one called 2D Compositions that you guys can take a look at. Let me see if I can find that slide. Here it is. Sorry about that. There it is. What makes a great 2D composition, where we do analyze pieces that we think are really fantastic. We break down what are some of the specifics that make that happen. By the way, this Google slideshow, it's available for those of you guys who want to revisit the video. The link is in the YouTube video description below. And we do have an Art Prof Share today. Art Prof Share is where one of you guys creates an artwork in reaction to one of our videos. And so we have a piece here by, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm really sorry if I'm saying it wrong. Gila Niles. And so...
Nice.
I don't know. So they said that they're studying biology and chemistry in Germany. Basic drawing skills are always helpful. So I started to improve them and it was fun. So I started to play around with different media. And Gila says that they realized all my compositions suck. I thought I had knowledge about it, but no practice at all. You can see an example of my boring composition. And after watching the video, I made some notes, really fast and crappy sketches in my book. I guess some of the compositions are really exiting and I want to try them out. So what do you think about these notes that were taken during our stream?
Man, you guys, I need to take notes. This is so smart. This is so smart to do. What I love about these little drawings here is the use of arrows to really figure out how a composition is working. Oftentimes when I make a little thumbnail, it's just a picture. I'm like, oh, wow, pretty picture. Cool. It's in my sketchbook. These are actually useful where they show what to do, what not to do, and you can go back to them later and say, oh, this is why I made this, and actually follow along with it. So these are super useful. Well done.
Yeah, and really, you guys, do this. This is such a great way to figure out why a composition is working. Sketch the composition of the artwork, and as you see in this image here, take a red marker, show where your line is going. This is a great exercise for those of you guys who want to break that down. So definitely think about that. If you guys would like to submit for an Art Prof Share, just go to artprof.org, click on tutorials. There is a purple button that will take you guys to the share submission form if you guys want to get a YouTube shout out. And you can also just tag us on Instagram, use hashtag Art Prof Share, so we make sure we can find it. Art Prof has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And in a few minutes, Lauren and I will be hanging out in the Art Prof Discord. We will be in the post live streams channel so we can chat more about how wonky Pontormo is. And subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters. Lauren, look at our second slide.
Oh, the second slide's gotten so long.
It's like doubled. It's amazing. We're so happy about this, you guys. Thank you so much. We cannot do this without your support. I would love to fill up the rest of that second slide. So anyway, you guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.